Alison Moorer is my guest today. Her new album, Getting Somewhere, is more of a country rock record than those in her past. Its sound may owe something to the album's producer, Alison's new husband, singer-songwriter Steve Earle. Steve joins us along with Alison today, and I ask Alison if she had a harder sound in mind as she set off to start making the new album.
The idea for this record, you know, we had actually talked about working together before we fell in love. There wasn't that much before we fell in love, but
yeah.
You know, I've always been a Steve Earle fan, you know, and had actually been waiting on getting the opening gig for quite some time and had no idea it was going to end up like this. But you know, I've always been a big fan of his songwriting and singing and records. And so I thought it might be good. I knew I wanted to try something new. And
I sort of pursued the gig too. I mean, even before all this happened, I mean, we'd toured together a little bit in the States, and the first day of the European tour, we were having breakfast in Amsterdam, and I sort of broached this subject, like, what are you going to do about your next record? And at that point, she knew that she wanted to write the next record by herself.
Well, that's the other thing I want to talk about. Is you wrote a lot with your first album, Butch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were like a writing pair.
Yeah, we were.
And this, except for one, Steve, you work on, it's all yours.
Yeah.
Was that part of the goal, too?
It was part of the goal. I thought it was time, and I really had gotten to the point as a writer where I felt like it's time for me to do this. And, it took me a while to get comfortable with the fact that it was okay for things to sound like I would say them. And I'm certainly not, you know, I never want to talk bad about anybody, especially in public. But, I wasn't always given the most support in the songwriting arena, if you will, by, you know, some people that I'd surrounded myself with, and just, you know, maybe something might have sounded like I would say it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I finally figured out, you know what, that's how it's supposed to sound. It's not supposed to sound like Dylan would say it or Christofferson would say it. It's supposed to sound like I would say it. So I had to get comfortable with that and you know, kind of get naked a little bit.
Now, Steve, did you have any advice on that, or was this process already happening before?
Well, it was already, I mean, she had already decided she was going to write the record herself, even, you know, before I was involved as a producer. I mean, you know, so all I did was, I graded a few papers, you know, a couple of times, you know, she'd bring me stuff, and I'd say, well, go back and work on this, just because I thought, you know, I mean, I've been doing it for a while.
It was really great to have that.
But that happened for like the first two or three songs. And then after that, all of a sudden, I turned around and she'd written the rest of the record. I was working on a book, and, you know, I put a book on the back burner. Yeah, my first play was going up in New York. And so it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. But I just, once we got back to the States and moved into the apartment in New York, I'd come home every couple of 3 days and shit, oh, here's this new song. And I wasn't having, very quickly I was fired from that job of grading papers. Just that lasted for maybe the first two or three songs.
It was great, though.
And she figured it out really quickly.
To be able to have Steve as sort of a, you know, someone to bounce things off of, because he's the kind of songwriter who really, really knows how to do it. He's not sort of getting lucky. He really knows how to do it. I consider myself to be someone who's gotten lucky. I really love this batch of songs, but I really do feel like they were gifts. I'm not so sure that I know how to sit down and craft a song, you know? He does.
If I had a nickel for every songwriter who says that about gifts when they come in here. A lot of people say that. Well, there is one that Steve, you end up getting some credit on, which is...
Yeah, I've got like three lines
called Fairweather.
In Fairweather, and it was because I traumatized her. It was literally... I have a friend that has an apartment in Spain, and we were staying there for a month, and it was big enough. It was bigger than our apartment in New York is, so there was a room for me to write in the front of the house and her to write in the back of the house, and I heard, you know, this chorus.
I sing loud. You know, okay,
she does sing loud. And it was Spain, so there's no air conditioning, so all the windows were open. So I was literally hearing her voice going out the back window of the apartment, coming around the side of the building and coming in the
poor
front
neighbors.
Window of the apartment. And I went running in there. I said, what is that? And she said, it's a new song. I said, well, just make sure you finish that. We need that. Because, I mean, she'd written Hallelujah and a couple of other things, and, you know, it was the first really up-tempo thing that she wrote for the record. And it turned out there was no shortage of that kind of material before it was over with. But you know, I wanted to make sure we had a single. So.
And with a good beat, you could dance to.
But then she got a little traumatized, and she wrote two more songs and still hadn't finished that one. And so I ended up having to help since I broke it, so I had to help fix it.
Well, we're going to hear a performance that Allison, you just did of Fairweather, which should sort of set the scene. Before you did this, Pouring Down Rain, and you do this one, and I was just listening, and I went, boy, this song was written for this situation.
Absolutely.
So this is Fairweather.
Bless your hearts for sitting on those wet steps. I should have seen it coming from a mile away. I guess I wasn't counting on a rainy day. As soon as I could swear the sky was falling down, you out of there before it hit the ground. Get out of town. Goodbye, so long, fair weather. This time I'm gone forever. I'm lighter than a feather. Goodbye, so long, fair weather. Everything is fine. Rainbow on my shoulder in the sweet sunshine. Yeah, and it's all mine. Goodbye.
Fair Weather, an acoustic performance of one you will find on the new album from Alison Moore, Getting Somewhere, which is her second out on Sugar Hill. And we're talking with Alison and her husband, Steve Earle. And Alison, I mean, I didn't know you before you got married to this guy, but, you know, he's a former drug addict, radical leftist guy. And I don't know if you'd heard, but he's been married before. and I'm you know, you're a nice girl from Alabama and all. And I
fooled you. No. You know what? I've heard this said many times. You can't help who you fall in love with. You can't help who you love. I wouldn't help it if I could.
I was done.
But
I was
thing,
not going to get married.
The thing about it is,
really?
You know, I didn't really. I think we had met one time before I got this
we had
gig.
Exactly one time.
Opening this last tour Steve did. And you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never heard anything bad about Steve, you know, personally, especially in the years since, you know, he cleaned up his act, so to speak. But I'm not scared.
It's a technical term.
I'm not scared.
No, I wouldn't be either.
What'd you say about
it's just so
cleaned up my act, that's the technical term.
Right.
No, I just wanted to give you a little.
Yeah.
I'm
just way braver than I guess most would think.
There's a song, Steve, you actually already mentioned on here called Hallelujah, which there's a certain element of faith in this record, and this song is a little bit about that, I think. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that's about? Is that faith in yourself? Is it what?
Well, you know, it's funny because my last record before this one, The Duel, was about faith too, but in a totally different way. I, you know, I've always been, you know, aware of religion, and, you know, I was raised in South Alabama. So I wasn't in church every time the door was open, but I was there probably once a month, which, you know, it's kind of surprising considering how I grew up. I remember at a very young age having some issues with this kind of fire and brimstone
mm-hmm.
way of thinking, and have for a long time questioned, you know, had a lot of spiritual questions. And, you know, in my 20s, you know, your 20s are hard anyway because you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And you know, a lot of changes happened during that time. And I was probably way more angst-ridden than I needed to be. You know, walking around wondering, is there a God? And if so, what power does God have on earth? How does it affect me? How does it affect us? And I came to this sort of revelation recently, probably, you know, almost 2 years ago, after I made The Duel, when I went, you know what? I'm just going to decide that there is a God because it works for me. And by the way, have you ever looked at a rose or a baby? You know, that kind of seals the deal for me. I'm pretty sure that there is one. So I kind of gave up that, oh, woe is me kind of stuff and decided, you know what, life's too short for this. I don't need to concentrate on this. There are way more important things than sitting around wondering what the answer is to a question that I'm never going to find the answer to. So I'm just going to decide that there definitely is a God. And I love the saying, Steve uses it and taught it to me, there definitely is a God and it's definitely not me.
Mm-hmm. That's all I know. That's the extent of my spirituality.
And, you know, that theme was, you know, running through my life at the time I wrote these songs. I felt renewed. I felt like there are good things in the world and it's a beautiful place to be. Enjoy it.
Hence all the flowers all over the album, too.
It's like, yeah. Well, I'm a girl. I like flowers.
Absolutely. Well, let's, this is a version of Hallelujah live on stage, and this is a really fine new song from Alison Moore.
I guess I know consequences come around the call. Maybe I'm a little late learning it's alright to pay, but sometimes it's either fly or fall. And wings are hard to find. God, I found mine in time. Hallelujah. 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 is all I keep. It ain't a lot, but it's mine, you see. And oh, that's worth having anyway. The first step's the toughest one, and even though it's done, I still got plenty left to take. And faith is hard to find. Thank God I found mine in time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, a live performance from Allison Moore. More of our conversation and live performance coming up on The World Cafe. Allison Moore is our guest on the cafe today. Her new album, Getting Somewhere, contains a song called New Year's Day that references a central event in Allison and her sister Shelby Lynn's life, the death of their parents. Allison's father killed their mother and then turned the gun on himself. I asked Allison about the song, New Year's Day.
New Year's Day is the second song I wrote for this record. I was sitting on a tour bus in New Jersey somewhere. Steve and I were on the road together, and at that point had become involved, so we were sort of living on the bus together with the dog. And it was, I can't remember if it was the day off or it was just the morning of a show day.
It was a horrible place in New Jersey in the middle of nowhere, that gig, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
began to think about, okay, you're going to write this record, you're going to have to go some places emotionally that you have not been before. And it was scary for me because I tend to be pretty private. Even as an artist, I tend to be, you know, a little bit less revealing than I probably should be sometimes. But I knew I was going to have to really get in there. And this memory came to me. The first line of the song is black-eyed peas in a plastic bowl on New Year's Day. It's hot enough in South Alabama to eat your black-eyed peas on your swing set. And that's what I did. I think I was probably 4 or 5 years old on this particular day.
Yeah, on January 1st.
Yeah. The song is really about my relationship with my sister because, you know, there's a line in there that also says, Sissy says, don't worry, it'll be okay. She's 4 years older than I am.
Mm.
And as we were growing up with, you know, we had the parents that we had and we loved them very much and they did the best they could, but it wasn't always the safest environment and it wasn't always you know, the best place for two little girls to be. Mm. And it, the song is really about the way that we held on to each other and comforted each other.
Well, it's beautifully written, and it's some great images in there. And let's listen to it. This is New Year's Day.
Black-eyed peas in a plastic bowl on New Year's Day. Sitting in my swing, set swing to get away. Sissy says, don't worry, it'll be okay. So we do what we always do and stay out of the way, out of the way. Sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Turning up the volume on the radio, straining not to hear the sounds we still cannot let go. Poking at the fire to take away the cold. Granddaddy's house is just a minute down the road, just down the road. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. School tomorrow, and it's past bedtime. Mama's coming down the hall to say goodnight. She can't cover up her worry, but she tries. I love you, girls. Now say your prayers and close your eyes. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul.
New Year's Day, and that is one from Alison Moore's new one. And we talk about writing bravely, and that's certainly one of them on the new album that goes there. I wanted to talk about your parents musically, though, mm-hmm. Because it is unusual. Your sister, you know, and you both became musicians. And how did that relate to your parents? Were they musicians? Did they play?
They were not professionally.
Oh, okay.
But both just huge music fans.
Mm-hmm.
My mother grew up in a musical family. Her mother is one of 14 children.
Wow.
They all, except for, you know, three or four of them, sang. That's what they did. She, you know, my grandmother grew up during the Depression. They picked cotton, the whole deal, right? You couldn't write it better.
Mm.
So music was always a big part of her life growing up. It's what she did for entertainment with her mom. And so my mother knew all these great old songs, and she also had a pretty amazing record collection. You know, we lived out in the country, and what my sister and I did for entertainment a lot of days was sit with her stack of 45s, which consisted of Beatles, early Beatles,
mm-hmm.
Elvis, Everly Brothers, Buck Owens, and we would spin these records and play radio station.
Cool, I did that.
Yeah, we also had a 30-minute drive to school in the mornings and no working radio in the car. So we would sing these old songs and you know, I'd take the high part, Shelby would take the lead, and our mother would take the low part. That's how I learned to sing harmony. My dad was probably more enthusiastic about music than talented, but he did have some talent and tried very hard and, you know, always had a cool guitar around. He taught my sister how to play guitar when I think she was 8. I grew up
playing
piano. A lot of
this guitar, this record was recorded with his guitar.
Yeah, really? The B-25. I have a 64 B-25 that belonged to him.
Wow.
And I use it on records. It just has a sound, you know, it really lends itself to being recorded with. But, you know, the most important thing about them loving music the way they did was they encouraged my sister and me to do music and encouraged us to be individuals and taught us that it's okay to stand out. You know, when you're a kid, you just want to blend in. You want to be like everybody else. But there was no chance of that ever happening. So, you know, the gifts they gave us were really strong gifts.
There's one more song in the set. Allison set that up.
How She Does It was started as something that I wanted to try writing something in an open tuning. So I tuned my guitar to D. I'd never done that before. I've always seen people do it and thought, gosh, that's cool. And it sounds different and seems to open up, you know, melodies and such. And I'd never tried to write a song in an open tuning. So it started there. And I got this picture in my mind of a woman was struggling through life like so many women today are, because they've got a job, they've got kids, they've got maybe not the best relationship going on. So it started there, and as I, you know, it started out to be a much lighter thing than it turned out to be. I realized that the woman in my mind was kind of a composite character, which consisted of me. My mother, and probably some other people that I know or have known. When I got into it and I knew what I wanted to do with it, I decided to realize my power as a writer, finally. And that meant I could write how I wanted things to be instead of the way they were. I let my mother get away this time. And it was such a release for me because I felt like, phew, I let her get away. I don't ever have to write about her dying again because I let her go. And it was huge. It's just a huge moment. And this is the first time I will ever have performed this song live.
Wow.
And the first time that I will ever have played a song in an open tuning in front of people. So,
well, let's
hang on.
Well, let's get right to it. This is a really nice song called How She Does It.
Morning comes, she wakes up, boys light, and starts another day in hell. Trying to get her makeup right, cause this time she can't tell him that she fell. He's sleeping off another one, so she tiptoes around. She don't make a sound. I don't know how she does it. One hand around a coffee cup and one to get to babies in the car. Cross your fingers, crank it up, hope and pray the piece of shit will start. And she's singing with the radio so she don't fall apart. It's just a broken heart. I don't know how she does it. Thank you. finally into town. Oh, familiar red light shining in her eye. Rolls the window down and whispers, how you gonna take back your life? She usually makes a right to work but turns it to the left. I think she might head west.
How she does it from our guest Alison Moore, and that one just stands out. I mean, there are things that stand out on this album for great choruses, and there are things that stand out for, you know, being real brave. And that's I love that story about how you got to change the ending of the story. That's great.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit me like wow, that's a really freeing thing. And you know what? I think that's probably the essence of art for me. Letting it go, doing what you have to do to get it out.
Well, congratulations on this. Both of you, it's really, really great work. And
thank you.
And thanks for playing live for us,
my
Alison
pleasure.
Moore. And thanks to Steve Earle for asides and producing.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Thanks again to Alison Moore. Once again, her new album is called Getting Somewhere, and you can find it at our World Cafe CD store. It's part of our website at World Cafe. NPR.org.